Welcome to SLWV. Danny Van Billy in the building. I am not alone. Finally, The Rock has come back. Letitia Van Billy is back in studio.
Hello. I'm so happy to be back.
Where have you been, Letitia Van Billy?
I have been making the future. You know, they say the children are the future. We just had a beautiful, beautiful baby boy. His name is Noah. He's 3 months old. And that's what's been keeping me away. But as my daughter calls him, the king, the new king
the
Van Billy household has released me this morning.
You know, these little people become your bosses, eh?
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. It's been a beautiful time, but I'm so happy to be back. I can't wait to get into what we are doing today.
What are we doing today?
Well, today we're talking about letting go or losing your idol and not your faith. So when I say idols, I'm not referring to the show. We have so many of them these days, though. It's easy to identify secular idols, but what about idols within the faith? Celebrity preachers, favorite prophets is such a prevalent occurrence these days. The idolatry is a show all its own. But what happens when the idol that falls off from the faith is your favorite prophet or pastor? Scandals of the pulpit are rife in our day and age, and I've seen this draw so many people away from the Lord and away from the faith. The question today is why? Why does a pastor's fall equal your fallout with God? You can join us in conversation today through our WhatsApp line, which is
0713640376. You're with the Van Billies, going straight into a song by Tondi Rams, Reason for the Season. Stay tuned, we'd like to hear from you.
You're the reason for the season.
So today we're talking about losing your idols and not your faith. We're going to head straight into scripture this morning, and we're looking at Hebrews 13 verse 15 to be specific, but there are hundreds of verses in the Bible that refer to us being made to worship. We are made to worship the Lord. In fact, scripture speaks of creation being made to worship the Lord, but Hebrews 13 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruits of lips that openly profess his name. We know there's a famous psalm that says, come into his presence with sacrifices of praise. And the fact that it's in the book of Hebrews means that it's relevant to our time. So the reason why I want us to look at us being created as instruments of worship is because the defilement of the enemy would mean that if we don't worship God, we will fall prey to worshiping anything and or anyone. This is where the worship goes from the person of Jesus Christ to the person on the pulpit. Now, the danger with this is that the faultless walk of Christ is not the faultless walk of man. There's nobody walking this world exactly as Jesus did, without the fault. We need Jesus because we have so many faults. What happens when you idolize someone is that their fault walk begins to affect your walk with God, especially if you idolize someone and put them in the place of God, like we do with so many, not just celebrity preachers, but even our own favorite preachers that we emulate after.
Yeah, I think it's really sad that Jesus gets the bad rap for anything that goes wrong in our relationships with our pastors, our leaderships. And also people that you might not necessarily know personally.
Yes.
But you've been following on TV,
like
you've been following on radio.
One.
Yes. The big names. And this becomes a very tricky area where a lot of us don't realize that we actually are idolizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think because it's Christian, maybe the person is a preacher or a Christian celebrity, you don't realize that you're idolizing them.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe the first point is you can make an idol of a Christian, shall we say, personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do we deal with that, Letitia?
Well, that's what we're going to be going into today. And we want to hear your thoughts as well. Why do you think it is that when a celebrity or a famous person who was, well, professed to be a Christian, falls off their own personal walk, so many people fall off as well? In fact, you'll see it a lot online. Someone gets the call, and they used to be known as a believer. They get an ancestral call, and you should see the comments. This is why I left the faith. These people are... And I want to put a question to you as we go into a song or two and some of our sponsors. Why is it that your personal walk with God is affected by someone else's decision making?
Yeah, is it still a personal walk with God then? Hey, deep questions on SLWV. Please stay tuned. We look forward to hearing from you. 071-364-0376. Have you experienced this personally or in your Christian circles?
What are you waiting for King and Country? We're talking about losing your idols and not your faith. Danny, what's your take?
You know, sometimes we need to always look at the culture and the times that we're living in. You know, and this is what we find with Moses and the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God got them out of slavery.
Yeah.
But when Moses went up the mountain, just for 40 days, you know, to speak to God on their way forward, not only did they turn their backs and decided that Moses is not coming back down, they then spoke to Aaron, who decided to make an idol, you know, that they would worship. Now, when you look at it carefully, you'll realize, no, idol worship was the thing of that time.
Mm-hmm.
So even in their walk with God, they came in with that spirit, mm-hmm. you know, that way of thinking. They wanted something physical that they can follow, that they can put their trust in. So they were bringing that way of doing things into their relationship with God. Now, this makes me wonder how many of us, because we are living in a time and age where celebrities are followed. I mean, everything is about following. What following do you have on Instagram? What following do you have on Facebook? And on the basis of the following, your importance in our society is decided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so some of us as Christians have brought that way of thinking into our Christianity. So we're finding people to follow, and we're idolizing them, whether it's Christian musicians. So we're just sprinkling Christian on it.
Mm-hmm,
it's the same practice.
Mm-hmm.
You just add Christian. Ah, no, it's a Christian celebrity. It's a Christian pastor. And you put them in such a high place in your heart. And sadly, if I may add, sometimes you put them in a place that's higher than God, especially with our pastors. And the reason I'm saying this is a lot of us were never failed by God. Okay. Mm. You've never woken up and you find Jesus messing up your bed, you know, and you're like, ah, this is a bad Jesus, you know, or Jesus made you a promise. And then he said, psych, I was lying to you, you know. We don't have bad experiences with Jesus. But when you have a bad experience with maybe an Andre, you know, and suddenly you're like, I'm leaving God. I want nothing to do with Christianity. I want nothing to do with the church.
Yeah.
And we need to ask ourselves, have we brought the modern day idolism and idols into the church?
You know, when we speak about have you experienced this, or do you know someone that's experienced this, it's really not from a high place, because I've experienced this in my walk with the Lord, where somebody that I thought was the be all and end all, the gold standard of following God, falls off. Now, there have been many over the, you know, the course of time. I would think to myself, but if they can't do it, can I do it? And I remember going to the Lord and saying, God, what's up with this? If your best can't do this, how can you expect me to do this? Yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. And that's when the Lord rebuked me and said, but I didn't fail you. I never failed you. So why are you putting this on me? That conversation with God was so earth-shattering and life-changing for me. And that's why I think it's important for us to talk about these things, because they are feelings that we have that affect our personal walk with God. And I think it's important that we expound on these topics.
Yes, I think we've removed humanity from our idols, you know, and we forget that our idols are not Christ. You know, they were not prophesied when God met Abraham, you know, and promised him a child that would inherit the earth, you know, and to put that weight on any human being to a point that if they fail, your life, your relationship with God is shifted, is really tragic. You know, but we do it because we live in those times. And I love what Letitia is saying. We are not speaking as people who've never dealt with these problems. We're really speaking as humble servants of the Lord who are saying, can we as the church introspect, you know, and ask ourselves today if we have made idols of things in the body of Christ, of people in the body of Christ. You can send us a voice note, 071-364-0376. Try to keep it within a minute so we can play it on air, but we would love to hear your opinions.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
Very interesting topic, but also very important that you're discussing. I think by God's grace for me, you know, I made up my mind a long time ago that, you know, Christ is the one who died for me on the cross. He paid the price for my sin. I am who I am and where I am by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is no leader, no preacher, no pastor that would ever take that place. I recognize the fact that preachers, men of God, whom we esteem highly and appreciate, you know, their commitment and dedication to teach us, you know, the word of God. They've put in the time. At the end of the day, they're human beings who have just decided to take their walk with God to a deeper level, paid the price to be able to get the revelations that they get, you know, for our sake. But they're still human beings. And when you look at them in that light, I think we can also give them grace when they fall, because they fall. They're subject to temptations like anyone, any other Christian. And we give ourselves so much grace when we stumble and fall, you know, but we never give the same grace to our pastors, you know, just because they chose, you know, that level of commitment, you know, to us. So I think let's look at it, you know, soberly, and remember they're human beings. And maybe that's why we need to be praying for them, because their levels of attack is at a higher level, you know, than the levels of attack that we go through, you know, as people who look up to them.
Wesley, thank you so much for your message. And you are speaking exactly what my next point is about, that the ministers of God have their own private walk. The ministers of the Lord are still working out their own salvation. And the only difference is that they are people who have chosen to be vessels for the voice of God. But unfortunately, just because you agree to be used by God does not mean that you actually know God. We're going to go into Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22. As it relates to pastors, I think verse 22 is the most important one. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evil doers. I want to focus on these three aspects. Prophesying in his name, driving out demons in his name, and performing many miracles in his name, according to the book of Matthew, does not qualify you for personal relationship or entering the kingdom of God. That means these three markers that we use as congregants to say, oh no, she's so powerful, oh no, he's so powerful, are not markers for the minister's personal walk with God. And what I've found that I think is a bit controversial, but in error, is that every time the man or woman of God falls, we fall into worldly cancel culture. We start taking their books out of the stores because they were caught in some iniquity somewhere. And what we don't realize is when you allow yourself to be a vessel, it means that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. That means that the teachings that departed from your lips could still have been from God, but your private walk was not. And at the point that we refuse to change privately, the enemy takes advantage of what we will not change, and it becomes a public spectacle. But does that mean that this person didn't drive out demons, that this person didn't speak through the name of the Lord, that this person did not prophesy in the name of the Lord? No. And that's a huge error that I see in our time, where because we have a worldly idolatry towards men and women of God, our faith walk becomes affected by their faith walk. And I love what Wesi just said in her voice note that she sent to our WhatsApp number just now. We have to make a decision as believers that as for me and my house, and when I say house, I mean me and my body, me and my walk with God, there is not a man or a woman of God that can sway me from the things of the Lord. We need to see how crafty the enemy is. The enemy is really crafty, because when you think of falling out of the faith, you think of what the devil can do to you to make you fall out. But he has found such a sophisticated way to instill himself even in the kingdom relationships. Even to the people you're looking at to follow Christ, there his ugly head rears itself. And we have to become wise to see these devices that try to steer us away from God.
I think when we bring the idolatry culture into the church, we reach a place where, because we're idolizing so much, even if the Lord told you pray for your pastor, you wouldn't.
Ooh.
Even if the Lord told you your pastor is struggling, let me just say, with time, and you should pray for them, there's an environment that's being created where the man or the woman of God can do nothing wrong.
Or they're the gold standard. They don't need prayer. They're there because they've made it.
They've made it, yes. And sadly, we've also found people who are broken in ministry, then using that standard, you know, to not address their personal issues. And sadly, when you are facing the Lord one day, yes, he's the one who gifted you. He is the one who called you. Yes, all the things that you're performing, the miracles that are mentioned in the scripture, they come from the Lord, you know? So it's so important that we put the idolatry out of the church so we can walk with people as people, you know, to say, yes, this is my leader, but this is a human being. This is a husband. This is a father. This is a brother. And we need to stand in the gap for them. So the idolatry culture is robbing us from being able to walk in healthy relationships with each other. Vive Worship, Heaven Now. Stay tuned.
Morning, everyone at Impact. I just got in my car, heard you talking about we need to put the idolatry things down. You're 100% correct. Like you said, our leaders are just human, also created by God. You know, it's the same when we go to church. We go to church to praise and worship God. We don't go there to worship our pastors. Yes, we listen to what the Holy Spirit has led them to say, but it all boils down to G-O-D, God. We go there for God. We go there to fellowship with God. Yes, we fellowship with other people, but we don't worship our leaders. I totally agree with everything you said.
Thank you so much, Mia, for your message. We go there for G-O-D, God. You know, something was said earlier as well by Wezi in the message that you sent, and that is grace. And I really want us to talk a little bit about the fallen prophet, the fallen pastor, and grace. Not all fallen prophets are false prophets. I'm going to repeat that. Not all fallen prophets are false prophets. I should rather say fallen pastors, ministers, etc. The reason I'm saying that is because every time you hear of a personal moral failure of the man or woman of God, the conversation stirs around them having never been called to begin with, how they're all evildoers, they're all manipulating spiritual entities and activities. And there's an aspect of this conversation that is often neglected, which is that in a personal walk with God, there will be moral failures. The difference between yourself and perhaps the minister of the Word of God is that they have a platform, sometimes huge, upon which they can fail. Whereas someone in the pews or who's not called to walk publicly with the Lord may have the same or worse personal failures that are not publicized, that are not known. Or the difference in how they're being called to walk with God by consecration based on the type of calling is not the same. So the moral failure on the pulpit is dealt with differently than the private moral failure. But this does not mean that these people did not have close relationship with God. Even the Apostle Paul says, the good that I want to do, I cannot do. He says that in the New Testament. And so when the men and the women of God fail, as Wezi mentioned in her earlier voice note, why do we not have the same grace for them that we bestow upon ourselves or even our loved ones, our children, our spouses? It's almost like this cancel culture idea that is completely unbiblical has infiltrated the church so much that when a man or woman of God fails, they are equally forgotten, immediately forgotten, never spoken of again. When the truth is, they actually need so much prayer, because would it not be perfect to attack the person who is called to lead the flock? It's the perfect scheme. And so the prophet of God, the man or woman of God, can, and let me, dare I say it, will fail according to scripture. Samson failed to a degree. David failed. Moses failed. Moses didn't even enter the promised land, but still appeared at the Mount of Transfiguration. There were moral failures, but there's nothing the Lord cannot redeem. I have a question to ask based on this part of the conversation is, when the man or woman of God fails, why is our believer's response not immediately to pray for them, knowing that we also have moral secret failures, but the response is to say, oh no, God can't be real. God can't be that powerful. This person is not walking in the Lord. How am I supposed to walk in the Lord? And I think it's that change of mindset that we need to have, that the same God you go to in humility and ask for, you know, forgiveness in repentance, so does your minister.
I also think when you're idolizing a person, sadly, the first thing you need to kill is the things in them that are exactly a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to say, no, this one is so big that they can't get this wrong. And we do it even with biblical characters. When you look at someone like the father of faith, Abraham, he struggled. You know, he struggled in his faith, but he was still Abraham.
Yeah.
As much as he went and had a child with the maid, he was still Abraham who was called. And in his journey with God, you find there's a part where he was Abram. And then as he grew, the Lord changed his name to Abraham. Mm. And then he had the child. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we're looking at him from our perspective, we would have just kept him as Abram and said, ah, you know,
he failed.
He messed up. And now we can't transition and see, no, there's a phase where Abraham and his wife lacked the faith. But now they've reached a point where they've crossed over to a place where they have grown. You can't do that with an idol.
Mm.
You cannot do that with an idol. So I don't know if this convo is resonating with you and also helping you to stop idolizing, because the problem is not always the idol. Sometimes the problem is you.
Impact 103. Come alive to the beat of life.
It's time for the recap. We're just entering into the second hour of our show this afternoon. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about losing your idol and not your faith. It's easy to identify secular idols, but what about idols within the faith? Celebrity pastors and favorite prophets is such a prevalent occurrence these days. But what happens when this idol falls off their own personal walk of faith? Scandals of the pulpit are rife in our day and age, and we have seen this draw so many people away from God and the faith. The question this afternoon is why? Why does a pastor's fall equal your fallout with God?
Well, I've got a suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a time and age where we are just so busy that it's easier for someone else's spiritual life to become our lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really look for God yourself. You don't really spend time in prayer yourself. Basically, can be laziness.
You know, as you say laziness, I'm thinking of the fallacy of believing that someone else can carry your walk of faith for you. And I've seen this over and over and over, even in myself. There was a time when the Lord called me away from walking with a certain person of faith. And I remembered feeling the burden of my walk, if that makes any sense. I was like, now I'm alone. Now I actually have to pray for myself. But I don't think that it was supposed to be like that. I think that our relationship with our leaders should be one that facilitates us into walking with God. Now, by no ways are we saying this morning that you shouldn't walk with leaders or that you should disrespect your leader's walk in any way. That's not the conversation this morning. But it's rather to put the accountability and the responsibility of our walk back on us, because it always has been. Let's play angel's advocate. You've walked with someone until the end of life. You've walked together, had many victories, and you meet the Lord. When you stand before God and the Lord says, what's the strength of your relationship with me? You're not going to say Pastor Danny.
Mm-mm.
Or Pastor Letitia.
Mm-mm.
And so I think a lot of the times as believers, because we do have so much respect for the man or woman of God, and they do carry us in our faith and they do mentor and lead us, we think that it negates our own responsibility towards the working out of our salvation. And we think that there's someone else that can pray for us, someone else that can do the things for us. So there's a bit of laziness that comes in there. And if that person that we esteem so high to be keeping us righteous with God falls off, it's much easier to just say, you know what, I'm out, because I can't do what they do for me. And I think we take away from ourselves that the Lord really does want personal relationship, and he can use you to deliver you from whatever you're going through in your life, in your home.
You know, it connects well with a message that came in from Nomava that says, good morning, pastors. We even forget the crucial part of one as an individual. You will be accountable to God for you, not what the man of God did or his mistakes. It also has a potential of blinding you in terms of not knowing what God has called you for, thinking it's all about the man or woman of God. Meanwhile, it's about one fulfilling God's calling in an individual's life. You understand? So if you're lazy about your personal walk with God, your focus becomes, there's a new thing going on here. There's a new pastor here. There's a new movement here. There's a new band, you know. Meanwhile, in your personal life, there's no prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no personal prayer. There's no personal time of worship. You know, there's no personal seeking of the Lord. And that is the culture, Letitia. If you think of it, what sells in our generation is easy steps to.
Mm-hmm.
It's never
10 easy steps to entering the secret place, which there is none.
No one wants to fight for their personal walk. One wants to, you know, go the extra mile. When we read about the older people who walked the faith walk, man, they were seeking the Lord by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when did we transition from, you know, you need to walk with God to who's your covering? You know, who do you associate with?
Mm-hmm.
Which church are you under?
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are beautiful things until you make an idol of them.
That's true.
And then sometimes the laziness in us, the humanity in us, the reason those one-step books do so well are being seen in the way we want to approach God. We want a formula that caters to our laziness.
Ooh, thank you so much, Nomava, for your message. Of course, you can reach us too. Our WhatsApp line is 071-364-0376. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, send us voice notes. Try to keep the voice notes within a minute, because we really want to hear from you guys. And also, if the Lord delivered you personally from this way of seeing things and living, share with us. It's important.
This is Music to Live By on Impact 103.
You're on SLWV at 20 minutes past 12. A message just came in by Divinity that says, such an important conversation. Thank you. I'm so grateful to the Lord for helping me when it comes to this. From very early on in my walk of faith, it has helped me see God even when ministers have faltered. There's a pastor that used to say, he is the man of God, but God is not a man. I hold on to that to this very day.
Absolutely powerful. And earlier on, you were listening to Shante Hart with Unfailing Love. We're still talking about losing your idols and not losing your faith. And Divinity, you touch on exactly our next point of conversation. We have been talking about how the man or woman of God can fail themselves somewhere, fail morally, and we link our faith to theirs and we fall off from God as well. But what happens when the man or woman of God fails you? And that's where the topic of the pastor that hurt you is not God. This is something that so many of us in the faith need to be delivered from, because as we've been setting the scene to show the humanity of our men and women of God, it equally means that that same humanity can affect you. Maybe the way they spoke to you, maybe the way they didn't speak to you, maybe the way they rebuked you. Babe, the other day, we were not talking about pastors who say, if you leave my church, nothing will ever work for you. You will fail in life. This, that, and the third. I don't know a scripture that says if you leave someone's church, nothing will ever, you know, work for you. Our pastors don't intercede for us. The last I checked, the person that, you know, mediates for us, rather, our pastors don't mediate for us. The person that mediates for us is Christ, Hebrews 13:15.
I think
that
this
we read today.
What you're talking about now is one of the modern day witchcrafts that we need to talk about. But we'll come back to that.
Hebrews 13:15 that we read earlier today says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually come to God with sacrifices of praise. It is through Jesus that we approach God. That's the only mediator that we use to approach God. It's not through our pastors or through our moms or through our prophets. And so whenever you're in a congregation where preachers start speaking like that, there are literally some preachers that are just in error, and you become collateral damage of their own personal situations. And what that can cause is a rift between you and God because of how you were treated in a specific ministry, because of how a specific man or woman of God spoke to you. And this is the place where this afternoon we're saying, do not let human relationships, human conduct, human flaws come in the way of your eternity. I would hate to stand before the Father one day and he asks me, where have you been? And I say, no, Prophet X did this and did that and did that. I think the Lord would say to you, but what did I do? I've been here waiting for you. I've been here waiting to heal that pain. I've been here waiting to redeem you and waiting to create relationship. Is it not that we are falling prey to the misgivings of our men and women of God because of that lack of personal relationship? And Danny, you mentioned this earlier, and I want to touch on it again. Leaving the Lord because someone else has had a moral failure is like someone coming to tell you your mother does not exist. Your father does not exist. And you listen to them and you say, you know what? Irrespective of the 40-some, 30-some, 20-some years that I've walked with my mother, because you've fallen out with my mother, you say she doesn't exist, I'm also going to leave my mother. That's how closely we should walk with Christ. That's how closely we should walk with God. That even if someone else has a differing experience to you, it does not erase decades of God being good and faithful in your life.
You know, what's interesting, the example you've just given is how cults operate. It's only a cult that will come and separate you from your family, you know, and really say, and I'm not saying there isn't situations
where you need to separate
take time and all of that.
Yeah.
But there are people who specialize in eliminating any form of support around you, you know, to isolate you to themselves. You know, and if you yourself isolate yourself from God in pursuit of a man or a woman of God, you've become cultish, you know, and you need to sit back and re-examine how you walk with God. You know, church hurt is the new PhD. You know, all of us are finding Christians with degrees and PhDs in church hurt. You know, I don't want anything to do with God or Christians because I was hurt. And when you investigate the hurt, sometimes it's so petty, you know. And I'm not saying they are difficult situations, but you're like, how do you leave God for that? You know, was there really a solid foundation to stand on from the beginning? Or did you come into a church culture and you forgot to find God in the process? You know, you forgot to find the Holy Spirit. You forgot to have a personal interaction. You know, it's like Paul. You can't turn Paul against God because Paul literally went blind when he had his encounter with Christ. Some of us, it's easy to turn against God because what we found was a church. What we found was a pastor. What we found was a man of God and not God.
Tune in on the Impact 103 app.
It's Mandisa. Oof, beautiful, beautiful song. And What You Are Worth is what it's called, featuring Britt Nicole.
We've got a message that's just come in from Midrand, from Sharon. She says, good morning. Love your show, dear pastors. Learning from the topic, over my years of walking with the Lord, alone is the only one who is able. I love my church, my apostle. We're taught as much as your ministers pay continuously for the congregation and pray continuously for the congregation and its members, you should go before the Lord when you pray to your God. You should bring your needs before Him. However, I'd like another show, please, to teach on, elaborate on some pastors or apostles or two teachers that say that if they are blessed, the blessing will fall onto you. I need to get some understanding on that. Danny, what do you think?
You know, I think this is a very thin line and a very dangerous thing,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people will talk about if they are blessed, you are blessed. What if they are cursed? You know,
sure.
What if they have fallen into sin?
Yeah.
Does the same apply? Should the congregants run away from you? Because if your blessings falls onto them, don't your curses as well? Don't your sins as well?
You know, Sharon, you may have just started a whole other show, because I'm having thoughts now. I'm like, I'm hearing, because let's be real, okay? Jesus healed people of sicknesses that he incurred on the cross. He gave people what he didn't have. Jesus gave people a freedom he didn't have. Jesus was born in a manger, but I'm sure miracles of houses came out of him. So we definitely need to expound on this thing of, if I'm blessed, you're blessed, which inevitably means if I'm cursed, you're cursed.
Yeah.
So this is really an interesting conversation. Sharon, thank you so much for your perspective and your message. We will think about that. That could be a future show.
Right? Yeah, Sharon, we are definitely going to just go into this, because this is also how idols are created.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're now pursuing the blessing that's on the man of God.
Oh, child.
You know, and you, if you begin to view them as the gateway to you receiving from the Lord.
I need to go into this. Once upon a Sunday, we were talking to someone somewhere, I don't remember who, but they were really receiving this word that we were giving them. And the first question we were asked was, oh my goodness, this is so profound. Who is your pastor? And I remembered feeling like, when the Lord speaks, please receive it in that moment as you perceive it to be God. Because you miss out on that word by immediately thinking, no, this is too powerful to come from you. Where's your pastor? And this is not about ego, to say, no, she should have taken the word from me. No, please hear me with your spirit. If you perceive that what I'm saying comes from God, why can't you receive it in that moment without seeking the higher power that gave it to me? Because unfortunately, I didn't have a church at the time that I said that we were talking to this person. And I thought that this is how so many times God can be speaking to you through your child, through your husband, through the beggar. And you're busy thinking, no, I can't receive this word from this person. It's too powerful. Send me the YouTube link of the sermon where you got this word. And that's how far this whole, I want the anointing of the prophet goes. That you can actually miss out on things that are for you as you run after the anointing.
It's almost like we no longer understand, like in the case of Samson,
mm-hmm.
you know, Samson used the jawbone of a donkey and killed, you know, thousands. But what we want is, Samson could recognize it was the anointing of the Lord. You know, so that moment was not about the jawbone.
The jawbone. We would make a consecration.
In our modern day, people will ask you, where is the jawbone? I want the jawbone to perform the exact same thing. A message just came in. Do you want to read it for us?
A message from Yvonne says, "Greetings in the highest name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, lover of our souls. Incredible topic. I personally have been spiritually abused for many years. I stood against Satan's wiles and works because Satan uses people in the body of Christ to do such things. It's up to us to be quick in the spirit and discern that because it is not a flesh and blood war, as we are aware of that, Satan wants us all to fall away by believing lies by your own prophets, pastors, etc." So that's my take on the topic, peace and grace, learn to choose to forgive, focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. Yvonne, Holy Spirit sent you, because my next avenue with this whole thing was, we are no longer testing the spirits that we are communing with in the world in general, but even in church. This is a New Testament scripture, 1 John 4, verse 1 to 6. I want to read all of it so that we can truly see what the Lord was trying to teach us about testing the spirits. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is in the world already. Interesting. Verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God, however, God knows and listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here, the Holy Book is trying to warn us to say, not every spirit is from me. The error that we have made as believers is in thinking that because there's power, that God is in it. As we go into a short break, I want you to think about something. Moses threw a staff that became a snake, but so did the magicians.
Uh-oh. Stay tuned.
Follow us on our social media platforms at Impact 103.
Thank you so much, Andre, for that message. And we'll let little Noah know that he's got someone that is wishing him well. If you're just joining us, we're still talking about not losing your faith just because the person you're following, whether face-to-face or online or wherever, has gotten into a moral failure. I want to talk about how people evolve. And because people evolve, it is important to stay connected to the same Holy Spirit that allows you to test the faith, like we read in 1 John. The Holy Spirit reveals to you two things: A, your heart, and B, the heart of others. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can tell you to move away from a certain covering, ministry, prophet, even in idolatry, even prophets that don't know you, online prophets that you've been watching for years. The Holy Spirit can say, stop listening to this person. And oftentimes we think the Holy Spirit leads us to not listen to them anymore because they've had some kind of moral failure. You know, they've become a witch, a warlock in the mountains. But the truth is that at times the Lord steers us away from things that the Holy Spirit perceives as having become an idol. It's like when, you know, you've got this strong desire to stop eating chocolate because you feel like this thing has just become too chronic. I feel like I'm addicted to this particular food. And you're convicted in your spirit to say, I can't have this much of this good thing. It's bad for me. And you stop doing that. The Holy Spirit can come that way and say, there's nothing wrong with my apostle. There's nothing wrong with my evangelist. There's something wrong with you. Uh-oh. You have placed them in my position. And I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous for you. I want your attention. I want your praise. I want your worship. So henceforth, stop listening to Pastor Mang Mang because I want to sit with you. It's not always the fault of the minister when God moves you away from them. That's A. But point B, God could be moving you away, especially those who walk one-on-one or even, you know, those who watch online. God could be warning you to move away from someone because they have been defiled. You know, we were listening to an apostle this week. We've been listening to him for a while. And he was talking about how what can happen to certain pastors in defilement is that they get asked for church members in the spirit realm for fame, for money, for whatever. They'll be approached and he'll say, no, I'll give you 20 congregants, you know, because we submit under these people. So if something like that is happening to you, wherever you are, and you're having the feeling that I need to leave, we need to curate and protect and, you know, manage the relationship with the Holy Spirit to the degree that once we have that check in our spirit, once we have that irritation in our spirit, we don't even need to know why. It could be me, it could be you, but the Lord is saying, this is done. And I think that's what we're missing. Again, it comes back to do not, subsidize or lease your relationship with the Holy Spirit to your spiritual leading, because it will come back to bite you. Because guess what? You need it. You need that personal walk. And what's sad is once we lease that relationship unto our pastor, our child is sick. So we go looking for the pastor. I think we forget that Jesus was healing the sick children and all of that because he was teaching them how to do it. I don't think that the template was that you should go looking for someone all the time. Jesus came to teach us relationship with the Father and therefore left the Holy Spirit to facilitate said relationship. We are not able to pray for our own child, to pray for our own marriage, to go to the Lord with our own things. We've leased those things out to a man who then can be defiled, and all those things are affected by that defilement.
Rosetta said, thank you for today's topic. I like that point of us being open to the fact that God can give us a message through anyone at any time. God bless your family and perfect that which concerns you. Enjoy your bundle of joy. Thank you, Rosette.
Thank you.
I want to, first of all, agree with this message that, you know, be open to God speaking to you at any time. And understand that there are times when you begin to idolize and God is rebuking you. You know, some people will be thinking they're leaving a certain church because there's something wrong with that church. Meanwhile, God is moving you there because you have shifted. Your eyes have gone from God to the man of God or to how the church operates. And let's actually maybe just for a quick second touch on that. When you quote your church more than you quote the Bible, when you quote your pastor more than you quote the Bible,
come on now,
you have officially gone into idolatry. You know, there are church folks where when they're talking, it's my pastor said this, my pastor said that. And I tend to ask them, what's the last thing the Lord told you personally in your prayer closet, in the privacy of your relationship with the Lord? Because trust you me, in that situation, the problem's not the pastor. The problem is you. You have shifted. Our church, we do this. In our church, we have so many numbers. In our church, in your idolism, in your idolism, you have forgotten God. And it's important to correct each other. If that's what is now happening where you are fellowshipping, you need to sit each other down and say, we have officially gone into error. We are quoting our pastor and our church and our vision more than we are quoting scripture. We still love you. You need to correct that. Hallelujah. Heaven Isn't Trembling, First Worship Music. Local artist, good song over there. You know, as we reach the point of conclusion, you know, I just want to share, you know, something I experienced recently. this is actually going to be a bit funny, right? You know, when you've been in the Christian space, especially the Christian media, you know, if I think about it, I started in radio with Impact Radio in 2006, you know. So you get to see a lot of movements come and go. And you even don't want to get involved. You know, so recently, Pastor James Kawalia was in South Africa, you know, and his testimony went viral last year. He was a former witch and all of that. And when I heard his coming, you know, the first thing I said in myself is, I'm not going, you know. And I remember just sharing with some of the people close to me, and they didn't understand why you say you're not going, you know, because there's nothing wrong with the man of God, you know. And on the day the conference started, I think on the second day, I was driving somewhere when I heard the Lord say, actually go, you know. And I ended up going and was very blessed. But the principle was, in my heart, I've just decided to not put any man or woman of God on a pedestal. And if I'm going to attend a conference, it's because the Lord has said go. Mm. You know, not because a person is popular, not because a person is the new vibe or the new wave in Christianity. And I really want to encourage all of us to aim to have that approach. You know, whether it's with the Vambilis or anyone else, don't just go because it's the new popular thing. Be led, you know.
Amen.
Even when you're looking for a church, don't just go because it's the big church in your area. And there's nothing wrong with the big churches, because there's a lot of good people in the right big church. But there are people who are looking for the next hype.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm going to say, you know, sometimes the problem is you. You've gotten into hypes. You've gotten into what's cooking, you know, where's the vibes? And if you're finding a church on the basis of the vibes and you're trying to be the next vibe, you are lost.
We've got a message that just came in from Chester. Says, good afternoon, Impact Radio. Sister Letitia, so nice to hear your voice on air again. Thank you. God bless you and keep you. Today's topic is phenomenal. I do strongly believe that if we always ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us, we'll always be satisfied with what we believe and what the word is saying to us. It's a matter of being obedient and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. That is 100% Chester.
And Chester, let the Holy Spirit also lead you where you said you won't go.
When you said I'm not going if the Holy Spirit says go there. In humility we yield and we go there. And I think that's the heart of today's show. The heart of today's show has been, are we cultivating enough of a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit that we are still being led and we quell from falling into the spirit of idolatry, which has entered the church in such a powerful way in our time that our hearts are even being steered away from the Lord to the man or woman of God? And we got another message earlier from Nomava, who was saying that the onus should actually be upon the man and woman of God to continually give back praise to God. And I once thought this, and I did talk to you about it, Danny, years ago, where I said, it's normal for us to bestow honor where honor is due, but it is the onus upon the person to whom the honor is being given to always steer it back to the Lord, because there are principles of honor in scripture. And again, today is not about saying you don't honor the man or woman of God, that you look at them with suspicion, but today is rather to say, is your adoration, I think that's the word, is your adoration of God being given to a mere man? And if that man falls, even in the United States, you can hear that a pastor somewhere has fallen. How are you in the South of Africa, where we are currently, you know, making the show from? How are you in the South of Africa negatively affected by someone in the States fall from grace? Even if you've received word from them in the past, that's okay. They are a human being, subject to change, subject to moral failure. But you, on the other hand, you need to protect your relationship with God at all costs, even at the cost of some apostles and pastors.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to say au revoir. As you know, if you need counseling, maybe today's topic triggered you, you know, and you're walking around with church hurt because you are idolizing. If you need help, you can give us a call.
You can WhatsApp us on 081-640-9372. That's also the ministry line. If you're looking for a church home, you can WhatsApp 081-640-9372. And we will see you again next week.
Same time, same place on SLWV. We're playing our David Crowder Band. Stay blessed.
With you all the way on Impact 103.